This episode of the Golf Gambling Podcast from the Sports Gambling Podcast Network is brought to you by Cut. Cut is a peer-to-peer based social betting platform that's US-based and available in 40 states. Head to cut.com, that's K-U-T-T.com. Use promo code SGPN for a 10% deposit bonus. We're also brought to you by Underdog Fantasy. Underdog Fantasy is a way to play fantasy pick'em for a chance to win 100 times your money in NBA, NHL, college hoops, golf, and more. Sign up today using promo code SGPN to get 100% deposit match. We're also brought to you by SGPN subscriber only March Madness Bankroll Challenge. Free to enter and up to $2,000 in prizes. Enter today at sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. And finally, we're brought to you by Hall of Fame Bets, the sports betting research platform for parlays, player props, and game lines. Download the Hall of Fame Bets app or visit HOFBets.com and use promo code SGPN to get 50% off your first month and start making smarter bets today. All right, my friends, we are on to the final week of the Florida spring. I'm thinking spring break here in Florida. The final week of the Florida swing, Valspar, Innisbrook, Copperhead, a very stern tee to green test, a very fun course, in my opinion, and a great way to wrap up the Florida swing, if you ask me. I know this Florida swing gets a lot of hate for the flatness of the golf, just the penal water. That's all there really is. You got to avoid the water and you'll be good. But I would say for a four-week period on the PGA Tour, it's some of the toughest golf we get year in, year out. So I love the Florida swing, and I'm not biased because I live here, but I just think it's a very fun swing on a yearly basis. But got my player's hat on, got to talk about it a little bit. Obviously, you see this caption on Twitter, I had Xander Schauffele 20-1, a fairly large wager. And yeah, I watched him Xander it away, as you would say, I guess. I still don't have all the words for it, truthfully, but I will say I'm not entirely mad at Xander. I really am not, because it's not like the dude came out on Sunday and shot 74. Truthfully, he didn't. He had a chance to win on 17 and 18, tie on 18. Didn't get the job done. And like Xander of the past, I feel like really lets you down after Thursday. He gets off to that first round lead and then he's not in the mix over the weekend. But this dude was literally in contention from Thursday to Friday. Scottie Scheffler wasn't in the mix from Thursday. He didn't have that pressure from Thursday to Friday. And I'm not making an excuse for Xander. I'm just saying, like, it was kind of impressive that Xander hung around for as long as he did, as did Wyndham Clark. So two, I don't want to say bad beats. Scotty went out and earned it. Scotty went out and played elite golf and had a historic round. Sadly, I had to be on the losing end of that. I wish I didn't have a guy in the mix and watch Scotty do his thing, because that was, I know, definitely fun to watch if you were either a Scotty backer, which if you were a Scotty backer, let me hear the rest of your card if you were a Scotty backer. And then, but like if you were just a golf fan, it must have been awesome. But I was just jumping, sweating, audibly just yelling of every single thing that went wrong, every single putt that Xander missed. So, yeah. On to the Valspar we are. Shout out, Kyle. This is my Justin Thomas hoodie, by the way. This is not an Alabama hoodie. So, yeah, that's going to lead us on to this 10K plus range. Xander Schauffele, Sam Burns, Justin Thomas. That's why I got this on. And Jordan Spieth. A very interesting range, and it's a range you gotta definitely split some hairs and make some decisions on. So Xander, what's the motivation? Where's the head at? Because he's played here once before and he finished T12. I'm not really sure how he finishes lower than T12 if he's in the game. Truthfully, if he's there to play, and I think it's gonna come down to his interviews. And I'll have my show on it Wednesday. I will be at Innisbrook tomorrow afternoon, all of Wednesday, to get a full boots on the ground report, see who's doing well, who's not doing well. It made a difference last week because Victor Hovland and Colin Morikawa were like real thoughts in my head, and I saw them really struggling in the practice rounds, and turned out to come to fruition. So if you're not following me, follow me to get that full boots on the ground report on Wednesday afternoon, Thursday morning, whatever you want to call it. So yeah, Xander, perfect golf as always, but where's the motivation at? And we'll know more later in the week. So I'm not going to make a real decision on Xander. Sam Burns, course horse. Obviously, course horse. He's finished sixth, first, 30th, 12th his last 5 years. Everyone knows you bet back to back at Valspar. Paul Casey, Sam Burns, Taylor Moore. If we get a Taylor Moore winner this week, I'll probably quit my job as a golf analyst. He's not fucking winning this event. Sam Burns, an elite course profile, and he's playing good golf. I know he finished 45th last week and 30th the week before, but the strokes gained are solid. He had a few bad mistakes at the wrong time, and he had one of the rounds of the week on Saturday. Justin Thomas, 10-4. Two back-to-back poor performances. I guess the API was all right, but the Players and the Genesis were poor performances at golf courses that should have fit the bill well for Justin Thomas, and he did not really play well or live up to the bill. But I will say, I love the bounce back for him this week. I really do love it. He's got very good course history, 10th, 3rd, 13th in his last 3 years, and in two rounds, he gained over 4 strokes on approach. So if JT's clicking with those irons, we know he's got the short game to match. If he's missing greens, which a lot of guys will miss greens at a course like this, I think when no one wants to play JT, when JT is 14-1, he comes in and swoops a win. Now we've gotten two straight. We got all the long shots early in the season. Then we get into March. We get an 8-1 winner. We get a 6.5-1 winner. Why not get another 14-12-1 winner with Justin Thomas? And then finally, Jordan Spieth at 10-2. Jordan Spieth, I really am high on as well. I think I like JT and Thomas the best in this 10K plus range. Now, Mr. Volatility, Jordan Spieth, you never know what you're getting, but it's worth the risk. You're either going to get that top three finish, which he did last year, or a potential like miss damn cut from Jordan Spieth. And I think we'll know quick. I think Jordan Spieth can miss that cut and then come out with a first round lead. That's very Spieth-esque. And he plays well this time of year. Last 2 years, he started to heat up late March, early April, around the Masters. It makes sense for Jordan Spieth to heat up around this time. And he's always played... He's played this course well, like recently and when he was younger. So I'm down for Spieth at 10-2. I'm down for JT at 10-4. Those are my two probably favorite guys. Like I said, we don't really know the Xander motivation, but I'm willing to go a little bit down for because I think you have a similar, maybe you don't have as high as a floor with Spieth or JT right now, but I think you clearly have a very similar ceiling because there's no reason that JT or Spieth is that much less likely to win than Xander fucking Schauffele. So that's that. Let's go down to the 9K range. Brian Harman at 9K down to Minwoo Lee. Oh, Brian Harman, sorry, at 9.8 down to Minwoo Lee at 9K min. Some very interesting names in this range. I expect Brian Harman to be very chalky yet again. A 12th place finish at the API, which he flashed like for a few rounds, and then he played all right. Sorry, he played all right for a few rounds at API, and then he flashed all week at the player. So it was a very interesting week for Brian Harman, but I think we are on the right path for Brian Harman. I just sent Kyle Huey Mack the StreamYard link, so hopefully he hops in and joins this with me so we could talk a little shop. And then finally, Cameron Young, 9-6. Am I going to do it again? Am I going to go back to Cameron Young for like the fourth consecutive week? No, I bet him 2 out of 3 weeks on this Florida swing, and he finished 4th and 54th. But he had an absolutely lights out performance with the irons. He couldn't drive the ball for shit. He's never played here before. But look, I bet Cam Young at a similar number, and I played him at a similar number at the Cognizant, paid off for me very well. Had to a very similar golf course. He's truthfully having some of the best ball striking performance form of his career. So I'm definitely down for Cam Young at 9-6, like truthfully. Now, Sungjae, 9-4. Back-to-back starts in which he's playing good golf again. It's another course that makes a ton of sense for him. It's Bermuda. It's not positional. You got to hit fairways. I definitely like Sungjae's fit because he's, like I said, he's popping. And then no one's going to be on him. And then he's going to not win, but Cashewell. All right, Kyle's in the mix. Real quick, let me grab my headphones so we can get going. It will take 1 second. Hang on. Okay, we are back. I'm going to continue to talk about this 9K range while I get these headphones connected. Tony Finau, 9-3, in some truthfully excellent form right now. Truthfully. Okay, audio. AirPods. We're in. All right. We are here. Kyle, guest appearance midway through the show. Let's talk about Tony. How are you feeling about old Tone?
Tony. Well, it's good to be here. Thanks for having me in. 9-3 Tony. I don't hate it. It's going to be kind of ownership dependent for me on him. Honestly, I'm not like in love with him, and I don't hate him, if that makes sense. He's not a guy I'm flag planting on this week. I like Cam Young. I also like Payne. So just bear that in mind. Weigh that scale. Cam Young, I think, gained 7 strokes on approach. I'm pulling all my stuff up now, but I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, he had a crazy approach week, and he's hitting the ball really well.
Typical Cam Young stuff, right? The guy can't fucking make a putt. So I thought he was going to have like this big kind of bounce back year, because I thought last year was a little bit of a letdown, and it's been the same old stuff with him. It's still early. So I kind of like him. I'm indifferent on Finau. And then I'll just leave it at huge drop off after Finau. I mean,
huge drop off. Like, Nick Taylor, he's finally getting that bump, which, I mean, yeah, I would say he deserves, but 9-1 is a bit of a big jump. And then Minwoo Lee, he's going to be popular at 9K, but the dude still cannot, he doesn't know, like, you or I probably hit the irons better than Minwoo Lee hits irons, and you just can't have that here. Like, is it a links course? No, you don't play Minwoo Lee. That's the flow chart.
Yeah, his irons were horrible last week. I will say, for the first time ever with him, he was gaining like the past 2 weeks on approach. Yep. Before last week, he had horrible, to your point, I mean, you're spot on, he was god awful. I think he lost 4 on approach at the Players, but he was, for the first time, like, finding the irons. So if you do want to like bet on a bounce back, I don't hate it with him. I'm not going to go there. I think there's plenty of places you can get leverage this week. I don't think you have to get too cute there this week. I kind of also like Keith right below him as a bounce back guy who's been striping the ball, and just could see him playing well here. And then I bet. Yeah. Bez.
So you bet Bez?
I bet Bez. I'm not a Bez guy. I bet Bez. I don't know where that leaves me for DFS. I imagine he'll be popular, but he gained 7 strokes approach last week. And it's not just last week with him. He's been in really good form. So
I like the course fit for Bez. Like, he should play out of the fairway, and then from there, put it to 25 feet and two-putt and get out of there.
Yeah,
like that's Bez. But the key thing you mentioned, he's truthfully in some of the best iron form of his career right now, which is always his X factor. Like, can he hit those irons? And we know the driver's going to be solid. The putter's hit or miss, but he's hitting his irons well, which is good. But back to Minwoo Lee, like, he's similar to what we saw from like Wyndham Clark last year. Generational driver, great putter. The irons will come around sooner than later, hopefully, because he's just a young talent. But I don't know if I could do it now, especially at this price. Like Wyndham Clark wasn't 9K, I don't think, in this field, even though he finished like 4th last year.
Yeah. And the thing I will say about Minwoo, if you play DFS over time, like if you're playing it every week, and he's going to be, I imagine he's going to be massively squeezed, right? I mean, he was super high owned 2 weeks ago. He was the talk of the, you know, DFS world.
The 6'6 range or whatever he was.
Massive misprice, probably the biggest misprice we've had all year. And that was partially because he was a late ad. But he then went back up a little bit last week. Nobody was really talking about him. And then he ended up being like 11% owned, which was surprising. I played him and tried to get what I thought was cute, because he kind of disappointed, but he hit his irons really well 2 weeks ago.
Right.
And he played well at the Players last year, and he bombed out. He played like shit. I might have, just quick aside, I might have had the worst collective golf like gambling week of my life last week. I bet one of the guys I bet made the cut. One of the guys also withdrew. I bet it was bad. But We're on short-term memory in golf.
Yeah, that was the first time Minwoo's gained on approach in back-to-back starts in his PGA Tour career. I know it's a short PGA Tour career, but like he's got to figure that out. And he's like, what is he, 22, 23, 24? He's got plenty of time. Like,
he's got time.
He'll be fine.
I was only saying, like, my point was where I just kind of never made the point, but he reminds me of Burns for DFS. Mm-hmm. He tends to be, and people don't like volatile guys for DFS, but volatile guys can end up
winning
the money. So I do think Minwoo Lee is a guy when he gets squeezed. He might be a guy that's worth, depending on how much squeeze we're talking, if he's going to be 6% owned and I can play him in 10% lineups and have really good leverage with him, like I'd consider playing him. So he's not a cross off for me, but I totally agree with everything that you were saying about him.
Yeah. All right. Let's get into the rest of this 8K range. Before we get into it, got to quickly talk to you about the Madness contest from SGPN. Free to enter and only open to subscribers of SGPN shows. For every SGPN show you subscribe to, you'll get bonus credits to use in the contest. Bankroll style contest and winner take all for $1,000 prize or $2,000 prize if you're subscribed to Sports Gambling Podcast Patreon. Go to sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. That's sportsgamblingpodcast.com/madness. And finally, Cut is a peer-to-peer social betting platform that's US-based, available in 40 states. Basically, you and a buddy, better way to bet. You can bet directly against your friends on sports, politics, pop culture, anything you want. Lower VIG, create your own bets. Cut handles the payment side of things, so you never have to chase anyone down for money. Group chats, betting leaderboards, head-to-head history. Cut, that's KUTT.com. Use promo code SGPN for 10% deposit bonus. All right. Rest of this 8K range, we talked about Bez, we talked about Keith, we got Eric Cole down to Patrick Rogers. I'll start. My favorite guy in this range is Keegan Bradley. Keegan Bradley, $8,600, lost a million strokes putting last week, hit the ball fine, but the last time this motherfucker won was off of a missed cut in a big event at the US Open, came back and won the Travelers. How do you feel about Keegan, and who else do you like in this range?
I'll use this time to flex that I was on Keegan at Travelers. I'm just a Keegan, like a lot of, I think most people like Keegan. He's just like a very likable guy. I like him on these types of courses where it's kind of like fairway green. And I know there's a lot more that goes into it than that, but this is kind of that type of course where if you can hit a lot of fairways and you can hit a lot of greens, you don't really need to worry about like the other stuff. If you can kind of stay out of trouble, golf your ball, you can put yourself in position to win. I think a lot of guys that get to the top of the leaderboard, that's how they do it. Or they have this kind of elite around the green skill set and they're missing a lot of greens, but they're so good around the greens that they're able to get it up and down, which I think Taylor Moore fits more of that mold. And even at times, Sam Burns, honestly. But I do like Keegan, especially if it's something where you're going to be able to get low ownership on him. I think he, relative to these other guys, I always like look at like what I just like say win equity. I mean, you look at the guys around him and maybe these guys around him are playing better, but Aaron Rye, Doug Gim, Bo Hostler.
And Doug Gim will be very owned. You said Bez will be probably owned.
Yeah.
Aaron Rye played all right.
Cole, Keith Mitchell, Minwoo. Like, I guess my point is except for Nick Taylor, like you go Minwoo basically down to Doug Gim range. None of those guys, like Keegan has the most win equity there, so I like it from that perspective. 100%. He has a big finish here, so I like that as well. He will definitely, again, if he's going to be squeezed, he'll definitely be a guy that I am playing.
And he's the shortest odds in this range too, I would assume, besides maybe Keith, which he's right around. And
I would guess, honestly, at this point, that Doug Gim's, I know Doug Gim, I bet him at 80, he's at 50-1 now.
Yeah, that was an absurd. He's probably going to be the most popular golfer this week. And as you know, if you are the most tipped golfer, you cannot win. Everyone knows that.
You can't.
I invented the chart.
So wait, can I ask you, do you bet any? I know kind of the process at this point we've talked, but do you fire on any numbers like at the beginning of the week, or do you wait till that?
Truthfully, very rarely. I mean, I used to just bet numbers like early in the week, Monday, if I like something. But this season, the only guy I've bet before the chart came out has been Billy Horschel last week, and obviously was never going to win. But I just was like betting 200. No, I mean, I don't really have anything against it. Like, I'm not afraid to cash out a bet, But I also, like, I'm not afraid to bet someone on the chart, but if you're most tipped, you can't win. So
now I respect your process. I like it. At times I'm too reactive. So I mean, like, I see something right. And I'm like, oh, this is the best bet. And then I'm like, I look at it like later on in the week and I'm like, yeah, I don't know if I love it.
Like 600-1 golfers on the DP World Tour that you see Monday morning, like that type of deal.
Well, I have to move those lines. So
you
I have
to. All right.
Yeah. I have to. The DP World Tour is quick, funny aside. And I know you know this because you bet on it too. But like the DP World Tour lines, dude. Those lines move like
wildfire.
Wild. It's crazy.
Wildfire.
There'll be a guy who's 400-1 and he'll go off at 60-65-1.
Yeah. Like, it's so good. It's so fucking good.
Yeah.
And we're in Singapore this week. I have not looked, but we could turn this into a DP World Tour show.
I have two bets already for Singapore.
Who do you got?
I have Rivetto at 150-1 and I am like what you are for Xander. I am for this guy Aki. Like I bet Aki Stry all the time. He's 200. He was 150-1. I bet him. He's actually there's an actual sell there. Like he was horrible like last year. His tee to green numbers like his past few starts. He's been playing really well.
I've been peeping him. All right, yeah. And then how do you feel about Adam Hadwin or Maverick McNealy? I don't know if you saw Maverick McNealy's stat line from this past week, but he's going to be popular. I know Jesse's in this chat. Jesse, I know Maverick is in your absolute fish food category this week because he gained infinity strokes around the green and paid off last week, and he's probably going to be popular this week. So talk to me a little bit about Hadwin and Mav.
I love Hadwin. I love
Hadwin. I'm with you. Let's go.
I think Hadwin's going to be low owned. He didn't hit the ball well, particularly well last week. And then you go back one start. I think he finished fourth at Genesis. It's like it's a very reactive industry. You know, DFS is as you know. So like I'm willing to like just look at Adam Hadwin, who's been a bucket here. I think it's the only.
Oh yeah, this is his fucking track.
He also like you know, talking to Andy, like the one thing I always pick up on for some reason with Hadwin and something Andy always says is like, he's really good on not just Valspar, but like these overseeded green surfaces. Like that's his jam. Like Waste Management, he's played well at the Players last week where I slammed him like a fucking idiot, apparently, for DFS. He played like shit, but I'm willing to go back to him because I think he's going to get squeezed. I love Rye. I always play Rye.
I wonder what his ownership's going to come in at this week because he was Giga last week.
I think it'll be 10 for that.
He didn't necessarily like play horrendous. He made the cut. He had a good start on Saturday, then gave it away the last few holes. Patrick Rogers, I think, will be like less than like 8 max. And he is a golfer who made the cut 2 out of his last 4 trips here, has gained distance this year. I think he's got like as high as a ceiling as anyone in this low 8K range. He's not going to win the tournament, but like, the dude can finish T6, T8. Truth.
Yeah, Jesse will love your Patrick Rogers sell, you fucking model freaks. I'm just messing around. I like Patrick Rogers. I don't know if I'll play Patrick Rogers or not. He's not going to be high owned. You're totally right because he's sandwiched between Sepp Straka, who I think is going to be massively owned.
Why is he 7-9? That's
eight,
wrong.
And he gained 8. The problem is he's 7-9 and he gained 8 strokes tee to green last week at the Players. So he clearly like found something. And he's a guy who long term fucks in Florida and long term probably to your point should be higher priced than he is. So I think he's gonna probably be chalk and somewhat justifiable, honestly, but. I bet Sepp. I don't like just play guys that I bet in DFS. That's not always right. how I roll. So I'm TBD. Like if I played all the guys that I bet so far this week, I bet Bez, Gim, and fucking Straka. Those 3 guys are all fucking going to be so chalky. I'm probably not going to play them all.
Taylor Moore 7-8 won this event last year. As you know, you play Taylor Moore in red states.
Yep.
In a red state, Arkansas Razorback. It's the simple flow chart. I don't know what his ownership will come in at. Truthfully, I'm thinking around like 12 to 14 just because of the win. He made his last 4 cuts. Thoughts on T-Moore 7-8?
He's worth considering. I mean, he's hitting the ball well. I don't really get the price with him either. I think it's a bad price. I think he should probably be priced a little higher. But I think that there's going to be ownership baked into that. So it's just going to kind of be like how much, you know, there's a lot of guys like that this week. Like all, like, for example, Moore, Straka, Gim, Bez are all going to be McNealy. Those guys are all going to take up a lot of ownership. So you could get some pretty good squeeze options this week. I'll probably play one or two of the chalky guys, but I'm not going to play all of them. I'm just not going to be able to get there on all of them.
This 7K range is like solid, like oddly solid. Because I think one of these guys is a lock for a T5. Like down from like, I'll say like Andrew Putnam down to Davis Thompson is those top five. Like one of those guys is finishing top five. Not sure who, but one of those guys is.
Putnam low-key striped it last week and the week before. He gained four. Yeah. He gained four in approach both weeks. He didn't putt well last week, which is actually funny because that's typically like what like he does really well, and he typically doesn't like do well on approach. So I like looking at stuff like that. He hasn't had great course history here.
He's missed his last three.
So you know, we'll see on him.
Torbjørn Olsen's an egregious price. I'm not sure.
We kind of skipped over one guy that might be worth mentioning, but Cole, I could see being a massive, massive overreaction. This guy's broken, like can't do well.
And Adam Shank has no chance to finish inside the top five.
I bet Adam Shank to win. No Adam chance. Shank, yes. Adam Shank can win this.
Negative chance. He might miss the cut.
He's 100. He was 110-1 when he started. I think he's like 75-1 now.
In the last like 4 years, we've seen one like non-elite player finish inside the top three and then win the following year.
You and Kirsch, you're fucking like
that was
guy.
Nick Taylor.
What? That was Nick Taylor. Yeah. He said the same thing to me about somebody else. I mean, I guess he was right because the guy that he said to me ended up not winning. But now I guess. I don't know. I don't know if I believe that as much, but I think Eric Cole could be an interesting, just one guy I skipped over in the 8K. So I apologize for, but from a DFS perspective, I mean, he's the hottest thing, you know, since like, I don't know what he was the hottest thing since, but he was that's what he was. At the beginning of the year, he was on this unbelievable run and the end of last year. And then he's kind of lost a little bit. He had a good finish at API, but he didn't really hit the ball that well. And then he did not play well at the players, but, I'm willing to go back to him. I think he's going to be a massive overreaction, like massive squeeze.
I wonder what the vibe around Eric Cole is, because he's finally starting to show signs of like, more like mortalness. He's been obviously nails for a whole damn year, and he's like old as shit, finally coming back down to earth. I was never an Eric Cole guy. I was kind of like an Eric Cole hater, even though he like lives down the street from me. But I'm out on Eric Cole, truthfully. Sam Ryder thoughts? I think he's a bit overpriced from that great start. I don't love this course as much as I love the players. I bet him 400-1 last week, and I was like, dude, he's like 12-under. He's like 12-under with six holes left.
Fucking great bet.
Post 16 to see what happens, but that quickly came back down to earth. I think he's a bit overpriced at 7.3, truthfully. He'll hit fairways, but I don't love the long irons.
He's going to be chalky, too. He's going to be chalky. Yeah. I think he will. Right. He is a little high in price, but I think people saw that finish on Sunday, even though he had like a triple bogey. He played really well like the whole week, honestly. Like
he did.
His stats were just like clean. He didn't pop like anywhere. Honestly, he just gained everywhere, which is always kind of like a nice sign. I think that's right. I apologize if it's not. I don't always check my notes. So, but I think he gained in all the categories last week. Or if he didn't, he was very close too.
Anyone else like down here? I like Berger and Akshay. I think Berger.
Yes, I like Berger. Sorry, I like Akshay too. I was just gonna say I'm with Jesse. I like Shank. I'll probably be playing Shank. I bet Shank. Shank first round leader always. Shank first. If he has a morning tee time, don't even think about it. Click it. First round leader. Auto bet for fucking Shank. I like him. I have two more 7Ks, and then should I keep going into the 6Ks, or do we want to pause?
We'll touch on the 6K. I don't want to go deep into it because I got my 6K show on Wednesday, but we'll throw out a few names.
Okay. I'll stop at 7 then, and we can reconvene. I also like Davis Thompson, and I very much so, and this is just kind of a guess. I think this could be a great course for I know you like this guy too. I like Rio. I think this could be a great course for Rio. He drives the ball incredibly well. He's not the best iron player in the world, but he's a good long iron player, and he's very good around the greens and can get hot with the putter. So he's kind of like this new generation of like Minwoo, who kills the ball, and his irons aren't like great, but he's just got like great hands. And like, I don't know.
Rio's 21 years old. I bet him at the Players last week thinking he would be like the next Siwoo would come out of nowhere. Dude, this dude was 5 under through 16 and 3-putt on 17 and then made an absolute mess on 18. Had to finish his round late, I believe, or finish his round in the morning or something like that. And then just completely fucked up. It was a mess, but I was like, Rio, 301. He's trending. He's trending. Just get him in the mix on the weekend. This dude can win. He won on the DP World Tour on a course that had a bunch of water, very tee to green based. It was the French Open. He outlasted Jordan Smith. Bad beat. How could you forget it? And I'm down 7K. Like, this dude is talented. Down for some Rio always. All right, 6K range. We won't deep dive it, but definitely throw out a few names, a few missed prices. We know for a fact old BSB Andrew Novak is going to be the chalk of this upper 6K range, I would imagine. And but besides him, I think a nice little pivot off him. I mean, what's the noise on Joel Damon? Because he's just mispriced on a weekly basis, even though he doesn't ever play well. But he played well last week, and he's kind of hitting the ball all right.
Yeah, where's Damon at? He's at 6'8". I imagine he's going to be very chalky at 6'8".
Him and Novak will get a lot of ownership.
I will say what I like about this new pricing is like there's some like we're sickos, so like I'm willing to go down to the 5Ks. I've got
guys in the
5Ks. I click, and I know you're probably right there with me. But yeah. I think to the general DFS community, it's more uncomfortable, and like people, I genuinely think see the 6, and it's like an immediate reason. Some people, not me. Not you, but I think some people are like, I don't want to go into the 6s. Like, I think people think that way when they build lineups. I genuinely think that. So I think that keeps ownership off the guys a little bit to a certain extent. You know, like Victor Perez, like I'm not a Victor Perez stan by any means. Like, low key has been chalky. He could probably be chalk. Jimmy Stangs, let me tell you, everything you need.
Driving machine. Florida guy.
This guy, like 3 or 4 starts ago, Jesse. I'm talking directly to you, Jesse, and everybody else, but specifically to Jesse. Gained 7 strokes off the tee in Mexico.
Driving machine.
7. This guy.
They call him the BMW. That's what they call him.
This guy's machine. He's actually, Jesse will hate this. Like Florida narrative. He's a Florida guy. Like, Jesse. Played this event twice. I don't even think.
He missed the cut, but he was like 12.
Yeah. But he had the lead going into Friday, I think. And then I'm kidding. He actually, like, statistical profile, like, he hit the ball pretty well at the Players. I think he gained like 2.42 strokes ball striking, something like that, if my weird brain's remembering correctly. I don't have my numbers up right now. He's actually gained in a bunch of starts. He played really well in Puerto Rico. He almost won Puerto Rico. He probably should have. I had Jimmy Stangs in Puerto Rico. Talk about bad beats. Horrible beat. Did you watch the ending of that?
No, I didn't. I watched the playoff. I didn't watch. I heard what happened. He chipped it over the green.
He just totally sculled a chip. Like was right by the green. Had a chip to get up and down for birdie and to force the playoff. Skull fucked a chip. But I do think Jimmy Stangs is worth sprinkling on. And I know for a fact Jesse is not playing.
I'm not playing Jimmy Stangs. I got two guys I like at the bottom of the 6K range. I'll start with the one I like less. It's Alex Smalley at 6'3". This dude has gained on approach in his last 2 starts. He's missed his last 4 cuts, though, but he's a slut for Bermuda golf. He's from North Carolina, played his college golf at Duke, talked to his mom. She said he's close, truthfully.
Okay.
She's a great lady.
Great
lady.
She said he's close.
She said that he's been like jonesing to get back on Bermuda. Like, he hates the West Coast, hates POA, has no idea how anyone makes putts on it. He's played okay back on Bermuda. He's missed 2 cuts, but he's gained on approach the last 2. I think there's going to be a time. Like, we know this guy can finish top 10. Everyone knows Alex Smalley has that upside. I'm going to continue to play him 6'3". But the guy I like more is my guy, Chris Gotterup. His last start at the Cognizant, he had the best approach week of his career. The last time an Oklahoma guy had the best approach week of his career was Austin Ekro, and he won his following start. I'm not saying Chris Gotterup can win, but I'm saying I had him on the podcast, and he said he loves the conditions when it's minus 14 to minus 16. That's what we're getting at the Valspar. He's hitting the ball well. 6K on one of the most
It's not the summer too. It's not the summer. So like he hasn't been at P House.
He hasn't been at DJs.
Fuck, dude. I'm in on Gotterup for DFS. I was probably in on him before that, but that's a great sell. He's just a guy who crunches the ball, and I'm a believer in his talent. He won like the Nicholas Award like in college. Dude, like they don't hand these things out to guys. I think he's very talented. He had like a stretch where he came out of college. He had a few big finishes, and everybody was like, "This guy is the guy." And I still believe in him. Kevin Yu, always for me,
always
the worst. Like I found this out last week, the worst around the green player, maybe on the PGA.
Rico Hoy's worst.
Oh, he's horrible too. He's horrible. But he's a horrible putter too. Rico Hoy. He's garbage on the green.
Like generational ball striker though.
Generational ball striker, dude. I think Matty Knees is fucking live in DFS.
If there's ever a Matty Knee week, it's this week.
Dude, he's finding a little form. Like he's got good finishes here. I've been told by my Bjork guy, Ryan Baroff, that it's a Bjork week for DFS. Yeah. So
you see my comment on that post?
No, I didn't see it. I gotta check it out. I could get down with a few other guys, one of whom was, I'm going to give you a filthy name right now. One second. 5,400. This guy is a driving accuracy machine when he's in form. I say he's a poor man's Aaron Rye. David Lipsky. 5,400, four strokes on approach last week. I'm telling you, I'm obsessed with this guy.
So Memorial like, comp.
If there's a guy that can tell you like when, like I play this guy when he's in the worst, I was playing him at like 5K the other week at some dog shit tournament where he shot first round leader and then he missed the cut. It was insane. And I was flexing on people after the first round. I was like, I'm 30X.
Mexico? I think it was Mexico, right?
Yeah, I was literally like, I'm 30X the field, Lipsky. Like, fuck everybody. Like, suck my dick. I'm about to take down like the 25K this week. And he missed the cut the next day. And like all my lineups went to shit. But it was sick because I was at the top of the leaderboard on Thursday. All jokes aside, I think he's starting to hit the ball well. He had a good finish here last year. He's a guy, fairways and greens. He's literally like Aaron Rye, but just dog shit. And way cheaper, and nobody's going to play him. So if you need a guy like a super, super, super punt, Lipsky's the guy I'm fucking jumping on this week.
Yeah, dude, I love it. So we will have a lot more gross names later in the week. Anyone else you want to shout out before we hit out of here?
I want your opinion on somebody.
All right, let's hear it. There are
three people we need to talk about, and then I'll leave. ADDC, big finish in Puerto Rico. What is his deal? Is he good at golf? I don't know.
I don't know. I think you heard my take when I was on the range at the Honda Classic. I was jaw on the floor. It was like Rory. I was like, okay, this is Rory. Then I was like, ADDC. I didn't see many guys hit the ball better than ADDC. Wow. It was the range, but he's won twice on the Korn Ferry Tour. This field is nothing crazy. He's in this low range. You got to play him. The upside is all the way. Okay,
he almost won Puerto Rico. Like, not that like a big thing whatsoever, but maybe that gives him some confidence. I don't know. I feel like sometimes I do this, sometimes I don't. I don't know if I'll do it this week, but sometimes I just like looking at a guy and it's like, this guy's this price, but like, I don't know, like 5,400 for this guy who people were like fucking, you know, blowing before the season started. Everyone's like, ADDC is going to win. I thought he was up there. He was being literally he wasn't being said that he was Ludwig, but people were putting him in the conversation with Ludwig. And I don't think that's an insane thing for me to say. Like, I think people, that was genuinely a conversation like people were having. So he's interesting to me. And then the other two, one guy I'm going to play is this guy. Fuck, where'd he go? Ricky Castillo.
Ricky Castillo, the Florida Gator.
Ricky Castillo. I
love it. Dude, look at his Corn Ferry Tour numbers. He's been
unbelievable.
National champion last year. Florida Golf. What else do you need? Dude,
yes,
I love it.
I'm so glad.
Him and Biondi too. Both of them fucked in the Panama swing of the Corn Ferry Tour. They're both Florida Gators. I'm down.
Dude, last four starts, three top tens, two top fives on the Corn Ferry Tour for Castillo. Who's the other young?
Where's the Puka Shells too? Like
yes, that's another stroke stain fucking Puka Shells, dude.
Yeah.
Fuck. I'm so in on him. But wait, there was one other. Who's the other young gun this week that everybody's obsessed with?
Nick Gavrilik.
I don't know anything about him. I actually knew stuff about this Ricky guy. Do you know anything about this other kid?
Yeah, North Florida. He is number two or three. Another Florida guy. He's played one PGA Tour event, and it was the Valspar. He made the cut, finished T39, and he had one of the rounds of the Thursday or Friday. I forget which day it was. Thursday or Friday had one of the rounds of the event, and he wasn't in the DFS pricing, and people were pissed off because he was like a late entry. And he's a future PGA Tour U guy. He's going to be on the tour next year. Hits the ball a mile. I'm not sure about his iron games. I know he's a problem off the tee though, but he's played one PGA Tour event and it was the Valspar and he made the cut. I think it was T39.
I'm locking him.
Go Ospreys.
No, I'm actually playing that guy then.
Yeah.
Jesse will love that. Jesse will love that. And by love that, I mean hate that. But no, I'm playing Ricky Seashells and fucking
That's so good.
And the other guy. I don't know if I'll play ADDC or not, but I'm thinking about it. And what I can say is, and you'll like this, like I can tell people if he played well, like I thought about it here.
Dude, the only reason we do content is to victory lap shit. You do content, you victory lap whatever the hell you want. So
yes.
Yeah. Kyle, well, thank you for joining me on a last minute basis. Just came in the chat and we had a great show. Got a ton of views. Thanks for everyone joining. Jesse, shout out. We'll catch you guys. I got a ton more content tomorrow, Wednesday. I'll be at Valspar. So any questions, hit me up, give you any opinion on any golfers. So peace out. Catch you guys then.